All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about what is probably our front runner for Best Picture at the Oscars in just a few weeks from now. It is Sam Mendes's 1917, a war film set in World War I that is shot to look like it's all one take. Of course, by master cinematographer Roger Deakins. And it is quite the accomplishment. A little bit of mixed, all over the place takes on this movie, but we're going to get into a lot of what we thought with my returning co-host, Catherine Gonzalez from Shuffle Online. So I'm looking forward to this conversation that we're about to have. And I want to remind you before we get into it to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can, of course, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. You can follow us on social media at PiecingPod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue these conversations about movies. And we've been having a lot of great conversations in there, so I really would love it if you guys all joined us. So I think we should just jump into this one today. This is actually going to be a really busy week on Piecing It Together. This is going up on Monday the 20th, but we also have episodes on Terminator Dark Fate and Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, which if you are a patron on our Patreon, you've already heard. Because I had those up as advanced special episodes, but they're going up for real now on the feed this week, probably Wednesday and Friday. Three episode week, busy week on the show. Next week might be a three episode week too. There's a lot of movies to cover, a lot of stuff finally hitting VOD that we recorded back in December, and new movies to cover. So there's lots and lots coming on Piecing It Together. So thank you for listening as always, and let's get into this conversation about 1917. All right, so today on the show, we've got back with us Catherine Gonzalez. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. This is my second early day in a row, but got to squeeze these episodes in where we can, you know. Got to do this whole podcasting thing.
Yeah, yeah. Your goals.
Yes. It's a new year, new resolutions. We got to fit in as many movies as humanly possible. I'm not really going to try to do that. That's insane. I need breaks here and there. But I am glad we're getting a chance to talk about this one. This is probably going to be the last 2019 release that we do an episode on, but I definitely wanted to talk about it because, I mean, let's be real here, there's a very good chance it's going to be our Best Picture winner this year. Let's get started with it just talking. I mean, how did you like the movie?
Yeah, I saw this back in December. I had like an early screening, and honestly, I was just blown away. I love war films. That's one of my favorite genres, so I can't get enough of them. I know some people, I read some tweets and things that said, oh, another war film. But I find them really relevant, and I think we should have one every year. Like, that's just me. I think it kind of reminds us of, hey, this really bad thing happened and we should think about what we do, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And I think that's why I'm so fascinated by with them, because it just blows my mind that people actually went through this, and they went in, like kids, basically, like, you know, men, young men had to go and fight and couldn't ask no questions, you know, like they were forced to. And I think I just find that so interesting. And then they just had each other. So I think this film, 1917, kind of reiterates that by focusing on the two men who are given a mission, and then they just go and, you know, do it without question. And I found that so fascinating. And even, you know, one of them is just like kind of joking and they're having fun, you know, it's weird. It's like a weird kind of thing. And so I found that, I don't know, I just really enjoyed it. I know, to me, I thought it really, Sam Mendes did a really good job in terms of like, throughout their journey, they kind of do give little tidbits of their life, so you do feel connected to them. I know that was kind of one issue I saw on Twitter, that people were like, oh, I didn't connect with it. And I had the opposite feeling. I thought that you could really kind of, you had to just kind of, if you listen to what they're saying and you kind of got their gist, you really felt for them. And the fact that they're basically going on this mission and they probably most likely to die. And it kind of just also represented, you know, all the men that were fighting, you know, like that's their story. They just go and do this stuff. So for me, that was really good. And then just technically, it was amazing. The one shot, I was kind of hesitant. Like I was not sure how it was going to go. I was hoping that it wasn't going to be distracting because I didn't want to know. I didn't want to be able to see that because then I was going to just going to focus on that. But the way they did it was pretty seamless. I couldn't even tell, like, I don't even know how they did it. And I need to watch some of those behind the scenes thing, but even then I probably won't know.
Right.
And then, you know, halfway through the film, Roger Deakins just shines and his cinematography is amazing. And like the lighting and there's a sequence, I don't know, we can get into it later, but it was just mind blowing. And I would have watched that over and over again, to be honest. So
yeah, he knows how to make a beautiful shot. That guy, he's just out of this world, the way that he shoots these things.
Yeah. So in some ways you're watching a film that's based on a true story or based on, you know, a real event, but then you get that cinematic part where it's just beautiful and you feel you're watching a movie, which I think we've lost somewhat nowadays. Mm. And so that felt really cool to kind of have both those things. And afterwards, like, it hit me, like I cried at the end. So I think it was good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I can't say more good things about it, which I probably will in this podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think we're both going to say quite a few. So why don't we, there's plenty of angles to look at this movie from, but why don't we jump into some puzzle pieces? I'm sure they will lead us to a bunch of the things that we want to get into. What do you got for your first puzzle piece for this movie?
So I'm going to go technical for my first one and say Blade Runner 2049, just because it's Roger Deakins and the coloring. Mm-hmm. In that scene that I'm talking about towards the end of the film, or I don't know, maybe 3/4 of the way, I don't know if you would say, mm-hmm. where he's kind of in the ruins. That felt very reminiscent of 2049 in some ways, and it was just very beautiful, like the silhouettes. And when the kid is like running and, oh, it was just so good. I was like, this is so good. I feel like I'm there. And so I really enjoyed it. And that's kind of how Blade Runner, you don't feel like you're there because it's very futuristic, but it just was beautiful. Like, I can't say enough. I don't know how you felt about it, but that was kind of why I had the comparison to Blade Runner 2049, which makes sense because it's Deakins' handiwork. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a little mixed on Blade Runner 2049, but I completely agree as far as how beautiful it is. And I would say you do feel like you're there, even with the futuristic setting. I think he really just captures it in a way that just, I mean, you really get a feeling for that world, you know, and that version of the future. And it just, the way that he shoots those things just is so perfectly beautiful. And you were saying earlier about, you know, cinematic. I mean, that's really the number one thing. I mean, some of it is very realistic as well. But then when he decides to, you know, I guess show off a little bit, it's a thrill, you know?
Yeah, because I want films that are grounded in reality, but sometimes you want to watch a movie and you get the best of both. And I think that he makes that happen. And it was so fun to watch that in this film, especially because war films, you know, they've kind of been done. And so it's kind of hard to, bring new things that people haven't seen, like the explosions and things. And I felt like in this film, just by his handiwork, it really kind of brought a new thing to the war genre, what people can do with it if they're just creative enough, I think.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, yeah, great first puzzle piece to kick things off. And I think that mix of reality and just how the hell did they do that craft is a lot of the reason why this movie is dominating right now when it comes to awards. And it kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think people were expecting it, but it's racking them up left and right. And I think people just love to see a show when it comes down to
it. You want to go to the movies.
Exactly. So I will go to my first puzzle piece, and this is going to be, I think, a fairly obvious one, but dealing with the whole faked one shot aspect of it, and that is Birdman, which of course also had a similar, you know, where it seemed like it was one shot for the entire movie, but of course there were little hidden cuts everywhere, and just the, you know, the technical marvel of that, and to try something like that, a stunt, you know, it really is kind of a stunt thing, and it's something that could really, depending on your outlook, could really kind of pull you out of it if you know, if they're not careful, and depending on your personal capacity for that kind of a thing, if it's something you can really deal with or not. But to me, I think it's pretty damn awesome. I love a movie that takes risks like that and tries to do something really, really exciting. And when you're even during the you know, the more, I don't know, I guess pedestrian moments where just kind of like walking through, you know, through the barracks and all that stuff. And even all that, it's just, it's kind of thrilling to just see the camera just constantly moving along with them and, you know, seemingly never stop. And it was the same kind of feeling with Birdman, where it's like they're just going to go through every single little moment of all this stuff and just, are they ever going to let up? You know, is it ever going to have a break? And it's a pretty exciting thing. And I think that's why people who are, you know, into, I guess, exhilarating cinema are really into the idea of the one shot. You know, it's just a very exciting thing when they're able to pull it off as well as they did here, as well as in Birdman.
Yeah, I agree. I think it definitely depends on what they're trying to depict. Like in Birdman, it works. And I wouldn't, it's just another tool, I think. And it needs to be used at the right time.
Yes.
And then the directors that we're talking about, like Mendes and then Iñárritu, I can't say his name very well. But those are masters. So it makes sense that they pulled it off, but I wouldn't, it definitely, I could see where it could go wrong. And so I hope people don't start trying to do it just because they want to do this like one trick. I think it definitely depends on the material and whether it serves the material.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but that's a good one. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Birdman. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of movies in the history of cinema that have done the one shot thing, you know, whether it was really done or tricked in really masterful ways. But I mean, that's one that just gets a lot of notice, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So what do you got for your next piece?
Well, I'll continue on the continuous shot train and Children of Men
sure.
From Coran. I can't say the R's in Spanish. I know, it's a shame. But yeah, I actually just rewatched it because I remember thinking it was really cool. And I think it was back in 2006. So I was just about to, it was a year from graduating high school. So I probably, my film knowledge wasn't as good. And I think I've rewatched it a few times over the years, but I just rewatched it to keep it fresh. And then just watching it now, it truly was like so good, so good. And it's crazy to think that that was in 2006. So that means they probably shot in 2005 and like technology wise, like the way, how they were able to pull that off. It was pretty, I think, groundbreaking in some ways in that sense, cause it was really interesting. It really adds to the story. You can, you know, there's the uprising going on and he's trying to find the girl with the baby, and you really feel that tension, which I think is why I compare it to 1917, because like you mentioned, just a simple shot of them going through the barracks, like walking through, you feel like, oh, what's going to happen? Is a bomb going to go off? Like, you know, it's very unsettling as a viewer to watch that, which I think just adds to what they're trying to convey. And in terms of war films, I mean, that's what you want the audience to be. You want them to be uncomfortable. You want them to feel that tension because that's what we can never imagine what it was like, but you know, you kind of at least feel uncomfortable in some ways.
Sure.
And you get to feel the unsettling, like what's going to happen next. You don't know. And that's what a little bit, like not even anything close, but a little part of like what they went through in terms like, so I feel like it's cool that, they were able to kind of convey that to us and us have that feeling like it's a really movie going experience. And I think that's why I really enjoyed it. It just makes you need to be all in. Like you can't watch that film, like watch 1917 and not be all in. Because I think that would kind of be, you wouldn't be able to really, I guess, take it all in.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, kind of just to double up on that, I also feel like The Revenant is another puzzle piece that I just want to like just bring up for a minute, just because of the survival aspect of making it through all this war, you know, those environments, and that just really just harsh, insane, just how do they survive in those elements kind of a situation. And, you know, The Revenant is such a deeply difficult looking survival film, and the things that they make their way through in this movie, and especially on their own with no help really for most of the film, most of the mission, is, you know, it's pretty damn crazy. And, you know, you had said earlier about, you know, war films being important, just, you know, to show what we've been through and stuff like that. The idea that these kids had to go on these kinds of missions and had to make it through this stuff, it's just, it's kind of mind blowing. And I think the difficulty of that is really, really well captured here. And I think that's part of what the one shot thing kind of helps with, in, you know, the immediacy and the, just absolute, you know, hardness of the mission. I think that helps to sell that.
Yeah. And I really think like if it had just been a normal, another film where they just edited stuff, I don't think it would have been as impactful as it is. So credit to Sam Mendes, who decided to do it this way, because you never stop. Like I was like, in the audience, I was like, okay, maybe we'll have a breather when they like are just like walking and it seems like there's nothing going on, but then like something else happens or they just got to continue. And it's like, man, this is never ending. And then you realize that's what it was like. Like they never had in war, you never have a chance to breathe, you know, like,
yes,
you're still on a battlefield. So, and I think that's kind of what you got to remember. And I hope people like kind of take that in mind when, you know, I think we've forgotten that a little bit. Like we don't Sure. realize what people really did for us and where we're going even today. So I think it's just nice to kind of like put yourself in those shoes a little bit and be like, I don't know, maybe I'm getting too into it, but that's how I felt at least. Because
I agree.
Yeah. And then also like when you see their, I was looking at their shoes, their boots, and you can see them going through the mud. You see them going through like the water and you just think, man, that must be so cold and like annoying. And I don't know that. And they never even really eat either. Like,
yeah.
So like, I don't know. I thought about all those things because you're kind of, when you're going through with them, you're like, man, don't you need to like stop? And they can't, because that was the reality of it. So yeah.
Yeah. Just keep on going and going. So that was my next piece. What do you have for your next one?
I have, I don't even know if it really fits, but I really love it. So I just wanted to bring it up because it's one of my favorite war films. We Were Soldiers. And this was before Mel Gibson stuff. So please forgive me. I'm not going to let him ruin my, that movie, because he was really good in it and I love it.
The man has a lot of really good movies that are pretty undeniable.
Yeah. So whatever. But in that film, it's about the Vietnam War, and it's really about camaraderie. And I thought in this film, it's the two guys, and that's all they have, and they have each other. And that's what basically a lot of my favorite war films focus on, that the ones that, hey, we don't really care about what's going on outside, what side we're fighting. We just got to fight for each other. And I think that's what this film was conveying too, is, hey, we got to go do this. They talk about their family lives a little bit, so they kind of get close. And then at the very end, I'm not going to spoil anything unless we are, but you know, it kind of hits home. So it's all about the person, the man beside you, or woman, you know, nowadays.
Sure.
But We Were Soldiers really did a good job of kind of, hey, no, leave no one behind kind of thing. And I don't know, that kind of just is something that I related to in terms of like comparing those two, is that you really, it just boils down to the person next to you and what you're willing to do for them. And, you know, and in this film, it definitely boiled down to that, in some situations. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, great piece. I'm trying to remember if I ever actually saw We Were Soldiers. I probably did, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, I've watched it like over 20 times. I love that film.
Yeah, right on. I'm sure I must have seen it.
Yeah, probably.
All right, I will go to my next piece. And this is a movie that there's been a lot of talk of the comparison online. It's a movie that I did not like very much, but it has to come up in this conversation. That is Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk. Are you a fan of Dunkirk?
So I actually saw it a long time after the whole awards, or I don't even, was it nominated? It was nominated.
I think it was nominated. It didn't win that much.
No. And so I just didn't watch it in theaters. It took me a long time, I think like 6 months after, to watch it. Cause I was like, okay, let me watch it. Cause I just wasn't sure like what was going on. And then sometimes the hype can just make you like not want to watch things.
Sure.
I think that, cause I have that on my list too. And mostly just because it focuses on like, he focuses on two characters like, or a handful of characters. But in that film, I felt like you couldn't really, it was more of a focus on the whole picture instead of individual people. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was, in some ways I liked it. But there's not I don't know, you couldn't really connect. And I think where Sam Mendes did a good job is that he made you connect with those two characters.
Absolutely. And that's the thing about it.
Yeah. And you care about them. And the other one, like I will say, like in terms of technical and as a film, it's really well made. Dunkirk is. But if I have to nitpick it, and I don't know, I just don't connect to it the way I do with like We Were Soldiers or this film. And I think that's why I wouldn't necessarily, like, I know the comparison because it's easy, like, oh, it's following a handful of characters, it's about war. But I think Sam, it's kind of not doing justice if you just compare it straight to Sam Mendes's 1917, because I think he did something that Nolan wasn't able to do. And that was like make you connect with characters and think of the big picture.
Yeah. I think back when Dunkirk first came out, it seemed like everybody loved it. Everyone around me certainly loved it. And I'm just like sitting out, like, I don't get what people like. I get that, yes, it's a technical achievement. There's so much really great craftsmanship going into a movie like that. I would never deny that. And I feel like 1917 is also very similar to that, in that the technical aspect is a big draw of the movie. But then, yeah, you've got just a small amount of characters that you're focused on, and there's nothing really there to connect with Dunkirk. And that's where it totally lost me, and where 1917, Sam Mendes does a great job, I think, of making you care about these characters. And that also speaks to the performances in 1917, George Mackay and Dean Charles Chapman. I think they do a fantastic job, and you actually care about their story. Whereas in Dunkirk, they're just kind of like these little pieces at play that you don't really have that much that you're into their characters' journeys or anything.
Yeah, they could be anybody. They could be replaced with any other kid, which I think in some ways is commentary in itself of the fact that governments don't care about, you know, like it's kind of like they just send these guys and don't really care about them, you know, in some ways.
Sure.
So I guess in that sense, I think it's a good bigger picture type film, but in terms of like caring about the people and getting the audience to connect, it didn't do very well. And I think that's where 1917 shines, is it's Absolutely. Such a short amount of time. And it's so cool the way, the information was just released a bit at a time, like where, you know, they reveal a little bit more about their private lives, and it just makes you kind of, it's like little bits and pieces throughout the whole thing. And then I think it was just, I don't know, sprinkled very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Along with all of the big, big actors sprinkled through as well, which is a fun little way to have a few, look who's in it now, moments.
Yeah. I thought those really brought, it was really cool because, unfortunately, I think a lot of people don't know who those two characters are in terms of actors. I mean, I knew Dean Charles Chapman from Game of Thrones and King Tommen, which I thought, I'm so happy for him that he's doing well. And he was really good in this, and I hope he continues to get roles because I think this was I feel like they don't give them credit. Like, I think they're giving a lot of credit to Sam Mendes, which, I mean, is warranted. But also, like, if they wouldn't have been good, it would have been shitty, you know? Like,
yeah, sure.
So I think, I hope they get some accolades in some way, or at least some respect, because I think they did a really good job. I wouldn't have been on the journey if they wouldn't have been believable. So
absolutely, definitely. All right, what do you got for your next piece?
So I got Black Hawk Down. It's one of my favorite war films. And more in the sense of, in 1917, there is action but it's not a usual war film where there's always explosions and they're kind of in the bunker kind of thing. It's like more of a journey toward the action. But Black Hawk Down did a really good job of the tension, and it's kind of like where they're on this mission and then they have to go through this, you know, in Somalia, and then like they're getting attacked. And in terms of like the comparison of tension that I felt throughout the 1917 is why I'm comparing it to Black Hawk Down, because there was just constant tension throughout the film. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if someone's going to die. And, you know, there's a lot more explosions in that one, but, sure. I think the same feeling I got of the uneasiness and not feeling comfortable watching it, is why I'm comparing it to 1917.
All right. Absolutely. I totally get that. And as long as we're going to cite war movies, I might as well bring up Saving Private Ryan, which, of course, I think is a good comparison, mainly because of this this one small mission in the middle of this big giant war, and focusing in on, you know, just the personal journey for the characters, which, of course, is a much better way to tell, a war story, because, I mean, we know the big overall picture. It's great to focus in on these characters and on their stories and what they're going through. And that's where you really get some really interesting movies out of. And of course, Saving Private Ryan is an incredible version of that. I haven't actually seen it since opening weekend, back when it first came out in, I think, 98, if I remember correctly. But, you know, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I love I've seen it quite a few times, but I haven't seen it, I think, in a few years. It might need a rewatch.
Yeah. All right. So what do you have next?
Those were actually all the ones that I had.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I have two more. So, first up, this one's kind of silly, but I have Tom Cruise running as a puzzle piece in various movies. Most recently, Mission Impossible Fallout and the rooftop scene, but certainly in many other movies over the years.
Hey, George McKay's coming for you, Tom Cruise.
I know. We should cast him as after these next two, get him in there for the next one. You can start running for Tom. Tom Cruise running is the first of the final two pieces. And the last one, I don't normally cite documentaries, but Peter Jackson's They Shall Not Grow Old from a couple years ago, I think would make a great companion piece with this. Just kind of, you know, we were talking earlier about how with the whole one-shot thing, you know, it really takes you behind the scenes and you see people just kind of living in that war zone and, you know, just the kind of mundane stuff that's happening back there as they're walking through the base and all that stuff. And I think They Shall Not Grow Old did a really incredible job by using all of that actual footage of showing what, you know, exactly what life was like back there.
So someone actually suggested that one to me as well, and I need to watch it. I haven't watched it, and I'm surprised I haven't. So it's definitely it's definitely going to be on my watch list pretty soon, because I need to watch that ASAP, I think.
Yeah, I think you'll love it. It's really one of the best documentaries I've seen in the last few years. And especially as a war movie fan, I think you'll really enjoy it. So, all right, let's do the finished puzzle, and we'll get into any closing thoughts we have on 1917. We talked about Blade Runner 2049, Birdman, The Revenant, We Were Soldiers, Dunkirk, Black Hawk Down, Saving Private Ryan, Tom Cruise running in movies, They Shall Not Grow Old, and Children of Men. All right. So, do you have any other thoughts about 1917? Plenty, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I think I just want to say, because I think sometimes, especially in the most recent years with social media and everything, I think when a film is highlighted, for better or worse, people will go in with those thoughts into the film, and kind of, you don't see the movie for what it is. You see it for what people are saying it is. And I think that, especially with this one, because I think people are going to be like, oh, another war film. Like, why isn't another war, you know? And I really hope that you can go in with an open mind, forget what people have said. I know it's kind of hard when you're on social media all day.
Sure.
But, and I'm guilty of that too, but I think just go in with an open mind, kind of put yourself in those situations. I always, and just enjoy it like as a cinematic experience, because like Roger Deakins is a legend, and like, watch his work, you know, like the reality versus like the cinema, like it's just amazing. And kind of really try to connect with those stories. And if you can't, I mean, I'm not gonna, you can't be forced to. But I think also with war films, I always go down the Wikipedia hole and try to research more about it. And I think that's maybe what Sam Mendes was trying to do, because it was an ode to his grandfather and the stories that he told, and you know, the men that he met when, you know, he was fighting. And I think we need to remember that, and kind of, I don't know. I think that's just kind of what I take away. I mean, some people might just be like, I don't want to watch a war film, and that's fine. But I just hope that people can kind of give it and go in with an open mind. Cause I know when there's like awards hype and stuff, you kind of want to, it sways you away from wanting to watch it, cause you're like, oh, it's overrated, whatever. Just try to go in with an open mind, cause it really is an amazing film, and I hope it doesn't take away from what they were able to do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just my last thought on it, and it really goes right along with what you're just saying there, is with the awards hype and stuff like that, I feel like a lot of people, when, you know, like we got to the Globes a few weeks ago, and I think everybody had a dog in the fight. It's like they either wanted, you know, Once Upon a Time, or they want, you know, Parasite, or, you know, they have these movies that they're like so set on, and then all of a sudden 1917 comes in and starts cleaning up. And so maybe that kind of, you know, creates a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a backlash situation. And it really shouldn't, because, you know, this is just a movie that has a lot of really, really talented people putting together something that's really interesting and hasn't been done quite like this, you know, and so it's really something worth checking out, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think so too, because I love war films, and sometimes it can get a little bit where you see the same kind of thing, or they do it. Some people try to take a stab at it, and it's not as, you know, well made, but this one really kind of just took it to the next level. So I'm excited to see the next generation of war films and what they're going to try to do to really put us there. Sam Mendes kind of set the bar high at this point in 2019. Oh, yeah. So all the other filmmakers out there have their, you know, work cut out for them on how they're going to kind of top this war film. But I'm excited as a war genre fan to kind of see where it goes now with the entrance of 1917 and what it was able to achieve.
One last thought. I can't forget to mention Thomas Newman's score, is wild. As a composer, I honestly felt it's a little too always present. I feel like he should have maybe pulled back a little here and there. But other than that, I mean, it's so beautiful, the work that he's doing in this film, like some of his best, honestly.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when it's really good, you kind of don't notice in some ways. I don't know if that makes sense, because it's I've noticed when it doesn't fit and it's very distracting, and you're like, what are you doing? And I think in this one, it was just at the right moments, and I need to watch it again to kind of see if it was a little bit too pressing, like you mentioned. I can't remember right now, but I do believe that it was really good. Like, it was,
I think it's going to be a good one to listen to on its own. I think it's going to be a really great score album to just throw on and listen to.
Yeah. I mean, I was running yesterday and I put on, what is it? The Night King That was like from Game of Thrones. So I love a good film score to run to. It kind of mellows me out, which is, I guess if you're a film fan, you understand. And if you're not, you're like, you're weird. But I prefer listening to soundtracks and music scores than, you know, other music.
I just got done doing that for like a month straight while researching my best scores of the decade episode. And so I was listening to nothing but scores at the gym, and some of them were pretty weird while I'm lifting weights and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that about does it for 1917. Have you seen any other movie recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Even though I'm kind of mixed and I'm actually going to write my review today because I've been sitting on it. If you're a fan of Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, I do recommend watching Bad Boys 3. I think it was fun. It definitely needed a little bit more finesse, but I think seeing Will Smith and talking about the cinematic experience and just movie going, and he was at the heyday in the 90s and 2000s, and it was really fun to see him and Martin Lawrence again and their chemistry. I would believe anything they do. So I think if you just want to have a good time and kind of zone out a little bit and just see a cool action film, that go watch Bad Boys 3.
Well, I'm probably going to do that later today. So I'm looking forward to it. So this was great. Thank you so much for being here. Why don't you tell people where they can find you and your work online?
Yeah, so you can find me at Things Cat Loves, and that's C-A-T on Twitter and Instagram. And then you can find all our writings and things at shuffleonline.net. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at shuffleonline.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here again. I'd love to have you again sometime, hopefully on a movie that we see within the same month at least. And, you know, I don't have to keep you waiting so long.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot coming that I'm excited for. So we can definitely find something, I think.
Beautiful.
Warning, do not listen while hungry.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Barajas, host of All Rice, No Beans, a podcast all about restaurants and the people behind some of your favorite spots to eat, where we talk about how they started, all the ups and downs, and my favorite part, the food and drinks. Ooh, and let's not forget about the desserts. So subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, follow me on all social media, because I have the pictures of all the food. And if you want to be on my podcast and you're a restaurant owner or in the business, email me at allricenobeanspodcast@gmail.com. And remember, you were warned, don't listen while hungry.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about 1917. And that was just our little ad for All Rice, No Beans, the new podcast that I'm producing. Episode 2 just went up today, so make sure to go check out All Rice, No Beans. We're having a really great time making this thing. We already have 7 episodes recorded, and they're going to be coming week after week every Monday. So look forward to that, and please check it out, and we'd love to know what you think of it. And we'd also love to know what you think of piecing it together. So make sure to rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. 5 stars would be amazing, but tell us what you think. We always want to make this show better, and we love making it and going to keep making it for you. So definitely let us know what you think. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, and you could sign up for our Patreon if you want. We still have some more special advance episodes in there that will eventually be hitting the main feed, and we're going to fill it up with some more soon. So lots coming. Also, it is getting to be that time where we're going to need to start scheduling out new episodes coming in February and March and April. New movies that are coming. So if you've ever wanted to be on an episode of Piecing It Together, get in touch with me, because I'm always looking for new guests to help co-host these episodes with me and get into the whole puzzle pieces format. I love having people back on who we've had on before, like Catherine today, but always looking for new people to have on the show. And I really appreciate that you're all out there listening, and would love to have you come and talk with me. So that does it for today, and 1917, which I still think is probably going to win Best Picture. I mean, of course, it could be Parasite. It could be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I don't think it could be anything else. It's those three. This is going to be it. I mean, I guess we'll see as we get. It just won the Producers Guild Award. I believe it won cinematography one. What is that? The Ace or whatever. Yeah, I think this is it, but I guess we'll find out in a couple weeks. So let's close this thing up with a piece of music, as we always do. And for a good war movie, we need a good war type of track. And I think I might have played this on the show before, but this track, Journey, from my free album, Like Ashes, definitely has a bit of a war feel to it. So let's play this track, Journey. And like I said, this is a free track. This isn't available on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of the places you could buy or stream music in that way. It's available as a completely free download. I have 3 albums like this. I have 4 albums that are available for sale and all that stuff, but 3 free albums that are like bonus tracks and remixes. And they're all available exclusively on my Bandcamp profile, which you can find at davidrosen.bandcamp.com. So go check out Like Ashes if you like this track, and you can download the whole album, 8 free songs and I believe 4 or 5 remixes of tracks from the album that came before it, Head Like Fire. So yeah, go check that out and enjoy this, and we'll be back in just a couple days with more Piecing It Together.
And all points west.